Good morning, everyone. I'm really glad that you're here. I know that this is something our church has never done before, but if you've made your way onto the YouTube Live website now, good job. It was a little bit difficult for us to get it all set up. You can see behind me here, we're just sitting in my home, in my room, getting ready to handle everything for this morning and make sure that all the different pieces are in place. So please do have patience. It's my first time. It's my dad's first time, but we're planning to have a worship song to start with. And Brett and Glenda have very graciously made a video for us of them singing an old hymn, and they've attached a video along with it. So we're gonna have that as kind of our worship time. After that, you'll hear from me again. I'll be doing our morning announcements. Then my dad will do his sermon as per normal, and then he's just going to end with a nice prayer, and that'll be it. So it'll be a little bit different from a regular Sunday, but of course it is going to be different from a regular Sunday. We are all at home watching from our rooms or from our living rooms. So we, again, please have patience with us. Now, just to introduce our worship song coming up, it is, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Originally written back in 1905. So if you know the hymn, please do sing along. If not, just listen and have your heart be called into a posture of worship, and just be, wherever you are, be ready for God's presence to come. Because even though two or three of us are not gathered in the same room, we're all here at the same time for the same purpose of listening to the word and listening to what God has to say to each of us this morning. So let's see how this goes.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven? This is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. Though by the path He
Got our announcements for the morning. So as you might expect, things are a little bit different. So we've only got a few announcements that we're focusing on this morning, but hopefully they can be of some use to you. As you know, a bunch of things have been canceled around the church, but we've been trying to think about online ways that we can help keep the church together and a few important things going. And so we've come up with an idea to have on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., a prayer meeting, a way for us all to be able to pray together, but not in the same room. So we would be using a program that's called Zoom. And I know that most of you will probably not have heard of it before, or at least won't be very familiar with it, but we're going to have instructions and information posted onto our website next week before Wednesday. So if you're interested in praying with everyone else at the church through this online platform, all the information that you're going to need to know is going to be posted onto our church website Monday or Tuesday. It's a free program. It's very easy to use if you can, you know, once you've got some instructions to work off of. And that way we'll all be able to see each other, at least digitally, and talk and pray together. So that would be happening on the Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And the same thing we're going to do with Norm and Kathy's care group that normally meets on Friday evenings. They're opening that up for the whole church to be able to have a care group together, and we would be using the same platform. We would be using Zoom on Friday night in order to have kind of a church-wide care group because we don't know how long this social distancing situation is going to be lasting. So these are some of the things we've been working on recently, and yeah, that'll be what's happening this next week. Other than that, we just wanted to thank everyone for being very patient with all of the changes that have had to be made around here. We've been doing our best to be very good neighbors to the people around us at our church. We want to lead by example, and we want to be a light of hope and of faith, and also of good neighborliness, of being considerate and compassionate to those around us who are grappling with this very difficult and somewhat scary situation that the world is in. On that note, if anyone in our congregation has a need, has been impacted by the situation that's unfolding around us and needs some form of tangible help, please do reach out to my dad or Pastor Brian, or reach out to one of the elders and just let them know. Because even though, again, a lot of things have had to be modified over the past number of days, we are first and foremost a church body that helps each other and takes care of each other. So please let us know if there's anything we can do to try and help you. I think that's it. So I'm going to go into prayer now, and then we'll have my dad speak. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear God, we thank you for allowing us to use technology in this way that gives us a means to spend time with each other and with you. It is something that we're not used to, but we are grateful that it's a tool for us that we can use when the world is in such a crazy state right now. Father, we look at the people who are running around buying all sorts of things in large amounts, and for some of us it's funny, and for others of us it's scary, and for other of us it's just sad to see the kind of panic and the kind of fear that has reached into the hearts of so many. Father, we pray that in this time, as the world is grappling with this disease that's spreading rapidly, that we can remember a few things. We can remember that you are sovereign, that you are healer, and that you are present and concerned with every detail of our lives, including how much toilet paper we have in our bathrooms. We thank you for your gracious heart and for the way that you draw close to us, and that you involve yourself with us in our day-to-day lives. We pray that this time can be one in which we do not live in fear, but rather we live in faith. We live trusting you that tomorrow is in your hands, as is today, as was yesterday. And we also pray that this can be a time where we show unity with our fellow brothers and sisters, especially those who do not know you yet. Let them see how we are willing and happy and confident to come alongside them and to support them and be compassionate and understanding, and to follow the law, to follow the rulers that you've put in place over us. I pray that you give them wisdom as they make decisions and as they consider different options. Father, we just pray that your hand be over all of the leaders who are doing their best to try and come up with ways for our society to be safe and be as healthy as possible. I pray that each of us be patient and be trusting, that even though there is so little clarity right now, everything seems to change from day to day. Different recommendations and rules and all these things, Father, that are just constantly in flux now in this time where it feels so chaotic. May we remember that we can be firmly founded in you, and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just pray, Father, that the things that you want us to learn, the ways that you want us to grow in this time, a time that you had determined from long ago, that you knew would come, and that came in exactly the way you meant it to, and that is currently unfolding in exactly the way that you have allowed. We just pray that you allow us to see and to remember how we can trust you, how we can rely upon you as our Father and as our provider, as one who loves us very, very dearly. I pray for my dad as he comes up to speak this morning, comes to share your word, and to just reveal it a little bit to us. I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds to listen and to understand. And I pray that you give us the will to put whatever we learn into practice. Make us not just hearers, but doers of the word, O God. And finally, Father, I just pray for the world that you be merciful, that you be gracious to all of us who are living on this planet. Give us hope. Give us life. Give us health. You are a good God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Here's my dad, and he's going to be speaking on a sermon he's called The Mountain.
Welcome to our service this morning. This is an unusual location, but it feels very familiar. My family is here with me today, and I'm sure it's very similar to you watching with your families, maybe from the couch. And you're welcome to have some coffee or something else to drink while you watch. This morning, I'm going to continue with our series on the life of Christ. The title of the sermon is The Mountain, because it deals with the transfiguration on the mountain where Jesus went up with Peter, James, and John. They went up the mountain with him, and they saw Jesus in a way they had never seen him before. They got a glimpse of his glory. This created a dilemma for them. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus of Nazareth. They knew that he was a man. They had been with him for quite some time, and they've observed him, and they've seen him be hungry, be tired. They saw him cry. They saw him become emotional. They saw all the parts of him that made him so human. Luke describes it like this. He says that in chapter 2, that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Clearly, he was a man. But at the same time, they also saw glimpses of his divinity. They saw him do things that only God can do. They saw him heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, even forgive sin. The authority that Jesus displayed was divine authority that only God has to speak to nature, where the wind and the waves even obey him. What do you do with this? This man, Jesus, who seems to be so human and yet also seems to be divine. Well, we have a couple of possibilities. Firstly, it is not possible for him just to be a good man with wise words. He would have to be, as C.S. Lewis said, either a liar or a lunatic. Secondly, it is not possible that he was a God who came down and took on human form. That would make him less than human. How can he be the second Adam if he was not fully human? He needs human DNA. Thirdly, it is also not possible that he was a man who was elevated to the realm of God. That means he will always be less than God, since he is a creature and there is a gulf between creator and creature that cannot be crossed. Let us look at how the church solved the problem. Because the same dilemma that the disciples had is also our dilemma today. What do we make of this Jesus? Well, the church held an ecumenical church council at Chalcedon in 451 AD, and they debated the issue. An ecumenical church council is called by the emperor, and it's where all the bishops and leaders of the church throughout the empire come together to debate a single issue and arrive at a conclusion. At Chalcedon, they agreed that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. This means that Jesus Christ has two natures, human and divine, which are joined together in one person, but they do not mix, and they are not lessened in any way, shape, or form. It is called hypostasis, or mystical union. I'm going to give you a visual of Chalcedon. You see the white square with Jesus, the God-man, as two natures in one person. This is what they ended up with. Jesus is both fully human and he is fully divine. Both of these two natures combined in one person. You can kind of think about it as his humanity and his divinity glued together in the body of one person. What Chalcedon said is that this is a mystery that we don't understand, and maybe we can never understand. But it does create a parameter for us, a fence, to let us know that once we go outside of that fence, we are going to be wrong. So the white square is the fence, and outside of that fence is going to be separation. So Jesus is the God-man without separating the two natures. He is not two different persons. He is not two different beings. He is one. Secondly, without confusion. This means that his humanity and his divinity are not mixed together. If you can think about two different colors that people use to mix, they take two colors, they mix them together, and it produces a third color. So Jesus is not human and divine mixed together to produce some sort of hybrid being, a third something that is different from the other two. Thirdly, it is without change. This means that each nature remains true to itself. He does not become less human or more human than he was before. He doesn't become less God or more God than he was before. Each nature remains true to itself. And lastly, without division. It means that he is not divided into two halves, like his humanity using half of his brain and his divinity using the other half of the brain, or humanity using a part of the body and divinity using a part of the body. Both of those remain without division. So this is, of course, the mystery, that Jesus can operate as a human being, thinking and willing and sensing and feeling as a human 100%, and at the same time, he can also be divine. And in his divinity, he can operate in a way that he can forgive sin, that he has authority over nature, and even can raise people from the dead. All this definition then really does is it expresses and protects this mystery. It does not explain it. Perhaps, as I said, we are too limited to explain it. Let us now read our passage for today. I'm reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 29. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? And he said to them, Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with him?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what was written down for us by Mark. I pray, Lord, that you would use this passage to speak to us. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and our hearts, that you would deepen and strengthen our faith. And so, Lord, that we could love you more and we could serve you better. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In our passage last week, Jesus told the disciples that he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be killed, and he must be raised again. Peter rebuked him because it seemed to Peter that it made no sense. It seemed to be against God's will that this would happen to the Messiah. In this week's passage now, Jesus takes Peter with him onto the top of the mountain. Peter sees Jesus glorified, and he hears God's voice speaking from the cloud, confirming that Jesus is God's son, and that Peter and others should listen to him. In essence, what he said was that what Jesus said would happen to him is God's will. As they go down the mountain, Peter and his friends were still confused about what it means to rise from the dead. You see, in their thinking, there would be a resurrection. But the resurrection would only be at the end of time. On the last day, there would be a general resurrection when everyone would be raised from the dead. There was no way they could think that someone as an individual could be raised from the dead before that resurrection. Now, we're not speaking about this raising from the dead. I'm talking about a resurrection, which means you go through death into life after death. I'm not talking about someone who dies and is then raised from the dead only to die again later. This resurrection is called the resurrection. and was expected to happen on the last day. So this is why Peter and his companions are so confused. To try and wrap their minds around what Jesus was saying, that he would be an individual who would be raised from the dead. Now, Jesus told them that they would be alive and they would be able to share this with folks. How can they be alive, Jesus be resurrected, and other people be around that they can share with? Very, very confusing to them. But as they walk and as they ponder these things and think about it, they do want to believe. They know what Jesus said. They heard the voice on the mountain, listened to him, "This is my son." And yet it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to add up. They want to believe this, but they find it hard to do so. This is exactly what it was like for the father of the boy with the unclean spirit. The father wanted to believe, but he found it hard to believe. He came to the disciples for the unclean spirit to be cast out, and the disciples couldn't do it. Then when Jesus came, he said, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." You see, this is the thing with the disciples. They wanted to believe in the resurrection. They wanted to believe that Jesus would be raised from the dead, but they had unbelief. Isn't this just the way that we find our own faith? We want to believe, but sometimes we have unbelief. We have faith mixed with doubt, and those are mixed together in a way that makes us wonder and think if we actually do have real faith. Well, real faith always has some doubt in it. I want to give you the example of Peter. And you might remember when Peter actually walked on water. People talk about Jesus walking on water, but we forget that Peter was someone who actually also walked on water. Do you remember the situation? Deep in the night, they were on the lake, and Jesus came to them walking on the water. Peter looked at him and he said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." Jesus said, "Yes, come." And Peter, with lots of faith, stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. This was an amazing, amazing story. But what happens to Peter is, as he's walking on the water, as he's exercising his faith, he becomes fearful. He sees the wind, and then he sinks. And as he sinks, Jesus rescues him. And Jesus said to him, "Why did you doubt?" You see, your faith was going well, and you were walking on the water until you doubted. That's how it is for us. We have faith and we have doubt. We have faith and we have unbelief. These go together. And what the Father does is the Father comes to Jesus and he says, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." You see, he gives the key to the disciples who want to believe that Jesus will be resurrected, but they have some unbelief. The Father says, "Come clean. Be honest with God. Tell him how you feel. Tell him that you do believe, that you have faith. But sometimes you struggle with doubt. Sometimes there's unbelief that is mixed in with your faith." This is the challenge that we have as Christians. We never saw Jesus with our physical eyes, but we believe that he exists. We believe that he loves us. We believe that he died for us and he rose again. He is the God-man. It is only the God-man who can reconcile man and God, bringing them together. And if we become part of that, if we put our faith in him, if we are in Christ, then we are reconciled to God. Then that means that we will live forever with God. But we need to believe. We need to have faith. And we need to come to God when we don't have faith, when we feel some doubt or some unbelief, and we need to come clean before him and pray. You see, what Jesus said is he said that this kind only comes out through prayer. What's very interesting is that Jesus takes this boy by the hand, he lifts him up, and he arose. It's the same thing he does with Jairus' daughter when he takes her by the hand and lifts her up from dead. The imagery here is that someone has died. The people around said this boy was like a corpse. It's like he's dead. But then Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up, and he is alive again. So we see that this ties together the faith of the father that he had for the boy and the faith that the disciples required to believe in rising from the dead. For you and I, during this time that we live in, an unprecedented time, I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I doubt that you have either. We need to have faith. We need to know that our God, our Father, cares for each one of us. We need to know that there is nothing outside of His control. We need to know that He has authority over all things. And we need to know that when we have some doubt or some unbelief, there's nothing wrong with us. That is the human condition. And that is the prerequisite for faith. Our faith will always be mixed in with some doubt or some unbelief. But if we come clean before God, if we say, God, I confess, I do believe, but help my unbelief. He will hear our prayer, and He will fill our hearts with faith, and He will draw us to Him, and we will be assured of His love and His grace and His mercy towards us. This is the best and greatest news of all time. Let us pray. Father God, we have to confess, Lord, that we do believe, but at times we have unbelief. There are times when we doubt, there are times when we are not so sure, but yet we believe. And so, Lord, we confess and we pray that You would remove our unbelief, our doubt from us. We pray, Lord, that You would strengthen our faith, that we would believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, that we would believe that we will be raised from the dead one day, and that we will believe, Lord, that You are with us in this moment, in this day, and in this hour. I pray, Lord, that You would calm our fears. I pray that You'd fill us with Your faith, that You'd fill us with Your peace, and Lord, that You'd fill us with that assurance that You are our Father who cares for us in a deep and in a personal way. May Your name be glorified, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.